This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Tom Rogers. Paola Gianturco returns home to Urbana High School this weekend for a high school reunion. Their homecoming follows many trips around the world, from Southeast Asia to Sub-Saharan Africa to Latin America and many points in between. Armed with notebook and camera, Gianturco documented the work of women involved in social justice. The result is the book called Women Who Light the Dark. And Paola Gianturco joins us on the telephone this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tom.
And thanks for taking your time out to talk about this project.
I'm glad to be here.
This is quite a project that took quite a lot of traveling. Explain how you got from Champaign-Urbana to documenting all this work that women have done around the world.
It was a long adventure, as a matter of fact.
Many journeys, I'm sure.
I graduated from Urbana High School 50 years ago in 1957. I went into business after I graduated from Stanford. I worked in business, specifically advertising, marketing, and corporate communications for 35 years. And 1 year, I decided to take a sabbatical year and do only what I loved most and wanted to learn next. And what I loved most was photography. My father had taught me when I was 8, and I also loved traveling. And what I wanted to learn next was about women who were micro entrepreneurs, since my working life had always been in large corporations. So I set forth, having no idea how to do a book, not being a photographer professionally, not being a professional writer, and with high hopes. Went to 12 countries and photographed and interviewed women who were living on less than a dollar a day, but sending their children to school on the money they earned. And they seemed to me to be heroic. So that was book one, and I never went back to business. I continued to make photographic books, and now, 12 years later, my fourth book has just been published last week.
And this is about remarkable women in different parts of the world that are doing work to work for social justice. What kind of expectations did you have when you set out to write this? And you know, how did things change once you started going to places like Morocco and Kenya and Cambodia and talk to these women?
My expectations were fairly realistic because I have by now documented women's lives in 40 countries around the world. And in fact, I had seen these women who were helping each other with the most intractable problems that make life dark, everything from sex trafficking to domestic violence and disease, for example. What I didn't realize until I began doing the book was how resilient and how effective they are. They are using, since many of them have nothing by way of material resources, they are using their imaginations and using the creative arts, song, music, dance, storytelling, imagination you have, even if you don't have material resources. They're using those things to tackle what seem to be insurmountable problems, but they are, in fact, succeeding.
What stories do you think affected you the most? We're looking at things from even ballet programs in Cuba to a woman in India who had set up an educational venture at railroad platforms outside train stations.
It's really hard to choose because these women's work is truly luminous. The title is exactly right, Women Who Light the Dark. I'll talk at this point about Betty McConey, who is a high school English teacher in Zimbabwe. And she and six of her students began a national movement against child rape. You know, there's a myth in Southern Africa, I have also heard it in Asia, that HIV-positive men will be cured if they have sex with virgins. It is a pernicious and terrible rumor, and of course it's untrue. So the effect is that many young girls in Zimbabwe have been raped. 20,000 little girls who belong to Betty McConey's organization, the Girl Child Network, have taken up this cause. They are using as a weapon poetry. It's a real reflection of the idea that if you have nothing, you use your imagination. And they describe in poetry their experiences and perform the poetry in community meetings, which so appalls members of their towns and communities that they rise up, are mobilized against child rape. And they are very effective. They now have established links with the police, child-friendly police officers who will help them if they report people who have raped them. So they are actually making progress even against the most visible and supposedly reputable, but, oh well, they're not reputable, members of society.
And the women that you profile in the book are women who have grown up in those types of situations, as well as people who have moved to those areas to try to make a difference as well.
No, these are all local women who are helping each other.
Okay. But you finished the book by coming back to the United States and profiling a group that works with women with disabilities in the United States.
There is an organization called Mobility International USA, which was founded by a woman who had spinal cord injury when she was in her late teens. She is now in a wheelchair, and this organization runs a 3-week leadership training program for women from 30 countries, each of them also disabled, and also leading organizations that help disabled people in their own countries. And I was with them and documented that program in which they learned to do things they never imagined they could do, nor did I imagine they could. They learned how to swim, they went camping, they went whitewater rafting, and they mastered a ropes challenge course. They went to the beach. Most of them had never been to the beach. It was remarkable. I'll tell you about a woman from Lesotho who is president of an organization that helps the visually impaired. And she had just, when I interviewed her, learned how to climb a tree. And she said, she's a woman whose children lead her to town. I mean, she is totally blind. And she said to me, you know, I'm going back to Lesotho to teach other blind people how to climb trees. They were so empowered by this experience that they went back not only empowered in their own leadership, but confident that they could do practically anything.
And it's interesting how you bring the book to that full circle, all the women who are working in those faraway places that you went to visit, and then women from many of those same places, in some cases, coming back to the United States and sharing their own experiences.
Exactly. Actually, it was a woman at that program in Oregon who encouraged me to do this book. She was from Rwanda, and she said, "Show people what we are doing. Show people that we are worthy of respect and that we are capable. Show people how to march with us." And, you know, in this last week since the book was released, I have looked at that book and thought, oh, I hope this book does what she hoped it would.
Do you want to follow up on this sometime in the future to see what results may have happened?
I'm in touch with these women all the time. There are a few of them who have actually visited the United States since I interviewed them, and they have come to stay with me. Many of their local organizations have at least one computer, so we email each other. And I have negotiated with the publisher that each of them, their organizations, will receive a copy of the book as a present from me to thank them. I would also like to say that they, with great pride, participated in this book because all of the author royalties from Women Who Light the Dark are being donated to the Global Fund for Women, which works in 164 countries and funds organizations like these. 18 of the groups in the book, there are 23 or so, 18 of them are actually grantees of the Global Fund for Women, so they were very excited about being able to participate in a project in which they were helping the organization that originally funded their work.
This is a book where the pictures, your pictures, tell almost the majority of the story. You could look without looking and see, you know, the progress that some of these women see just in their faces, you know, working with the people they work with. How do you choose which pictures carry that message for you?
It took a long time to edit these pictures, I must say. This was the first book I had ever done digitally with a digital camera. And so I could see immediately as I was working in these countries the results. And in some cases, I sat with the women, and they helped me identify the pictures that they felt represented them most faithfully. I also, by the way, because I was always working with interpreters, and that can be scary because you're never sure if you're getting something that was actually said, as I drafted the chapters, I sent them back to the interpreters to be read to these women so that they could do fact checks for me. So these women were very deeply involved, not only in the selection of photographs, but also in the copy.
It's a fascinating book, and we thank you for joining us this afternoon. You're being in Urbana this weekend, but you're also touring this country to talk about the book in many other places,
That's
too.
That's exactly right.
And the book, again, is called Women Who Light the Dark. It's by Paola Gianturco, who is a... Are you a native of Champaign-Urbana?
I was born in Urbana.
So you're familiar with the east side of town, so to speak. Well, thanks, and glad to have you back for this weekend, and best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Paola Gianturco was our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine.